Welcome to Talking Creativity, the Crania podcast from Dublin City University. I'm Ciarán Dunn.
I'm Joe Binetti.
And I'm Tim Hannigan. In this series, we talk to academic experts on creativity, creative practitioners, people from the creative industries and the arts, and those working across disciplines and at the boundaries between scholarship and practice.
The aim of these conversations is to dig into creativity, to figure out what it means, and above all, to explore ways to encourage it in any field or discipline.
The Crania Project is based at Dublin City University and funded by the National Forum for the Enhancement of Teaching and Learning in Higher Education. A number of years ago, I was teaching a course on social entrepreneurship to my undergrad students. As part of this, they had to identify a social issue, understand its causes, and then design a solution to address it. One day, after yet another smartphone app had been proposed as a possible solution, I, somewhat frustratedly, declared that apps, while certainly serving a purpose, were not a panacea or some kind of technological catholicon for every social issue that we face. I then told the students that they needed to be more creative. And they replied, "Well, why don't you teach us how to be creative?" This challenge set me off on an exploration of the field of creativity, which I soon came to realize is an expansive labyrinth that connects so many different disciplines, from the arts to psychology, cultural studies to business, systems thinking to ethics, and many, many more. Among the things that I have learned during this exploration is that creativity, like so many of the most important things in our lives, such as culture, health, happiness, and love, is a complex, subjective, abstruse, yet powerful phenomenon that goes to the heart of human existence. Without exaggeration, creativity has been central to our survival and our development. Along with our capacity for language, our ability to imagine, and the fact that no other species cooks its food, humans' creative capacity differentiates us from other animals. Furthermore, the many local and global challenges which confront us in the 21st century, including COVID-19, along with the unprecedented pace of social and technological change we are witnessing, mean that creativity is vital to future human progress and indeed environmental sustainability. We live in a time of VUCA: volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. And creativity is vital to navigating this, be it addressing challenges or harnessing opportunities. But the importance of creativity is not simply limited to a problem-solving utility function. It represents a form of expression, an emotional connection, a way of being, a social act, a mechanism for self-fulfillment, and a vehicle for self-actualization. As Tina Seelig of the Stanford D School argues, without creativity, we are not just condemned to a life of repetition, but to a life that slips backwards. Now, each of us are familiar with that all-encompassing, enriching, and stimulating sense of flow and openness to possibility that defines the creative process. For many, and for all kinds of reasons, this experience is rare, yet we appreciate and recognize its importance. But what exactly is creativity? As I mentioned at the outset, it's a slippery, recondite, and unwieldy concept. And this subjectivity means that there is no universally accepted definition. However, the majority of definitions do identify two criteria which must be fulfilled in order for an idea, a product, a process, or any other output to be deemed creative. The first of these is perceived novelty. This is the idea that the output should be original and new to some degree. However, being novel is not sufficient to automatically render something creative. A cube-shaped tennis ball, a cordless skipping rope, a magnetic condom, and an umbrella for dogs, all of which have been patented, are novel, but they don't qualify as creative unless they also satisfy the second criterion, that is, perceived value. The output should be useful, meaningful, appropriate for the audience or users for whom it is intended. This concept is not restricted to economic value, but rather spans all disciplines, be it art, engineering, philosophy, education, politics, medicine, or any other. That is, regardless of the domain into which an output is introduced, or the medium through which it is expressed, and that could be painting or music, words, computer code, fragrance, wood sculpture, or sand art, these two criteria must be satisfied. Of course, to muddy the waters even more, we also need to recognize that novelty and value are themselves subjective concepts. What is new to me might not be new to you, and what you see as valuable, I might not. Furthermore, some people, including myself, continue to ask whether a third criterion relating to ethics should be applied to creativity. Should, for example, an ingenious bank robbery qualify as a creative act, or a particularly effective protocol for interrogation or rendition? These are questions which remain to be answered. Historically, creativity was said to be confined to a small number of lone male geniuses, the likes of Einstein, Newton, Edison, etc., whose creativity, it was argued, would manifest itself regardless of any environmental conditions. This was the idea that an emergence of an individual's creative capacity was inevitable, whether supported or not. No matter what, the creative cream would ineluctably rise to the top, so to speak. However, in the years following the Second World War, this view changed radically. Instead, it was acknowledged that everyone has the potential to be creative, and furthermore, their creativity could be shaped by environmental factors. This democratic take on creativity prompted a shift towards understanding the creative process, how creativity actually emerges, rather than simply focusing on the creative output, the product itself. Furthermore, the successful launch of the Sputnik satellite by the Soviet Union in 1957 led to accusations that America was facing a creative deficit, which needed to be addressed if they were to dominate the space race. And so, this recognition that creativity could be both stimulated and hindered prompted a more in-depth exploration of precisely what factors might play a role. And this in turn led to the development of many methodologies aimed at stimulating an individual's or group's creative capacity. Such methods include lateral thinking, design thinking, the CPS approach, the Bono Six Thinking Hats, the Scamper Technique, and many, many, many more. In more recent decades, the role of sociocultural variables has become increasingly important. Creativity is now seen as a cultural and social phenomenon. As such, it is up to each organization, community, or society to decide how they wish to value, direct, foster, recognize, and reward creativity. Given the unquestionable importance of creativity and the acknowledgement that it can be actively fostered, nurturing it should be central to the fundamental mission, or what the ancient Greeks called the telos of education. In the Cranier Project, our starting point is that everyone has the potential to be creative, that creativity can be cultivated in the right conditions, and that creativity applies across all domains and disciplines in the university and beyond. Our aim is to develop the creative agency of staff, students, and indeed the broader community. In this podcast series, we chat with people from a huge diversity of backgrounds and disciplines. Yet, we are all united by a shared passion about the importance of creativity and the need to actively foster it in education. The late Sir Ken Robinson referred to creativity as the greatest gift of human intelligence. And through the Cranier Project, we seek to recognize, appreciate, protect, and cultivate this gift. We hope you enjoy it.